Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hi, everybody out there around the world. This is the Travel Advice Show, and I'm Chris Newton. I'm the, one of the co-hosts, and Jerry Fuller is my other co-host.
Good evening. How are you all?
Yeah, and today's April 30th, 2007, and today our topic today, we're talking about budget travel, all the different types of ways you can have a budget travel. And that's one of the ways I travel quite a bit. I always try to find that deal or try to find a good deal out there. And also we have a great guest today, Brian Erickson, a good fellow traveler who's traveled. I actually traveled to China with Brian, and he's a longtime friend. And welcome, Brian.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Hi. Welcome. Hi. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, before we start, we got the email that I wanted to talk just a minute about. They weren't able to listen in, I guess, and call in, so they emailed and asked if you'd spend just a second on it. And it was about traveling through Alabama and the southern states in an RV with children and some itineraries and things on that. And because enough information was not really given, I've asked them to please email more specifics and things. But basically, there's a couple of things I want to talk just a second on RVing in the South. They've got to keep in mind, number one, that the South is very humid, and traveling with children under five, something the email mentioned, can be kind of awkward. So make sure you take cool clothes and have plenty of liquids, because it's very hot, very humid, and then 85 to 100% humidity, 24 hours a day, and it doesn't even cool off at night. So be prepared for that. Also, he didn't mention the length of time. But to see the state that he's mentioning and to get a good feel, he needs to allow at least 2 weeks. So if he's listening in, those are just some things there. Pardon?
Hello. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Yeah, I just got back. I don't know if I was on the air there a little bit, but I just wanted to let you know I'm back to the show here.
Okay. I'm not sure if any of it went out about the RV, but the person that emailed about the RV, if you'd please email some more things or call us, I'd appreciate it, because there's some very important things that we need to talk about. Did you hear me mention at all, Brian, about the humidity in the South?
Yeah, I heard everything you said.
I think it went out on the air. If not, we won't worry about it. No. We're here to talk now about budget. Now, I'll just take a few seconds, if I can, to talk to a difference about cheap and budget. They're used interchangeably by a lot of people, but for the sake of this show, we're going to talk more about budget travel and not cheap. I call cheap poor quality. In other words, doing things so inexpensively that you don't get a chance to really experience the trip. It increases, sometimes it'll increase the chances of getting very ill, maybe dying, going definitely at the wrong time of year. A lot of things are closed in the wintertime in Europe, for example, and a lot of the roads during the summer in the southern part of Asia, like Philippines and Thailand, etc., because of flooding. So, I mean, I call that cheap travel, because you don't get enough benefit, in my opinion, to go. You can go budget at that same time or another little bit different month, and I call budget getting a fantastic deal for quality. And it doesn't have to be five-star hotels. It can be two-star hotels at a good deal. But it's better to go three sometimes. So that's the difference. So if you all agree with those definitions, let me know. If you don't, we'll talk about that too. But basically, Chris, you really like to travel on budget. Would you want to start us out?
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, that, you know, that's part of the reason when I started traveling around Europe, I was on a budget. I was on I was a student at the time, and that's a great time to travel when you're younger. You know, at that time to stay like in hostels and really anywhere where, you know, it's inexpensive. So it's been a great experience. And Brian, have a lot of experience, you know, traveling around, you know, on a budget.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of the same. When I started traveling, I was in college, and like all other students, had no money, so that was I guess that's the only way I really could travel, so I just got used to it, and now I'm freshly out of school and still don't have any money, so I guess I'm still...
Ryan?
Hopefully someday I'll get out of that, but...
You want to give us an idea of maybe a couple of days, examples of traveling on your definition of a budget? What would you do, and how would you save the money, and where would you cut costs?
Yeah, I think it's definitely just a kind of a mindset you got to get into, that you have a small amount of money and you got to make it last. And if you want to take a sweet trip, then you want to make it last as long as you can, you know. So just everyone, I guess everything, like from food, you know, like I can remember taking road trips like to Texas from Utah where I went to school, and I would just buy like a loaf of bread and a jar of the pre-mixed peanut butter and jelly, you know, and that would get, that's like a week, you know, like one day,
yeah,
whatever. You know, it's anything you want, little things.
Did you ever, either you or Chris, ever put a limit or an average budget per day? I remember when I started traveling way long time ago, there was a book out by Arthur Frommer called Europe on $10 a Day. And
yeah,
it was actually, I think he started out on $5 a day, but $10 a day. And so when I started and went to Europe, like you all did on budget, I started out, see if I could actually do it on $10 a day. And that included food, hotel, transportation. And you can do it. So did you ever set a budget that say $50 a day or whatever, and try
to? I do that. I don't always maybe do it per day, but a lot of times I'll know like I have X amount of money for this trip, and so you know, you factor in like how much you think transportation is going to cost, and you know, it's usually just a guess. You can't always say for sure, so you got to plan a little bit of a pillow, you know, hopefully to cover you in emergencies, but. But yeah, you definitely just want to get as cheap as you can, and it's crazy how cheap you can get if you really set your mind to it.
It is amazing, isn't it? I mean, when I was younger, in my 20s, I've stepped on church pews before and park benches.
And
do really dumb things like everybody does when you're younger, is when you have the Euro pass, for example, I would go, just because I was cheap and had little money, I'd go, let's say, Paris to Rome, overnight, just to sleep on the train, didn't pay a hotel bill, and I planned my whole trip that way. For example, I do Paris, for example, then I'd overnight to Rome, then I'd stay in Rome, then I'd overnight to Madrid, and then I would stay in Madrid, then I'd overnight to such and such. And you can save a lot of nights on hotels by sleeping on the train if you have you crisscross on a night trip. I wanted to mention a couple of little things and see if you have any experiences on this. I know many, many countries have great passes. In the United States does, Canada, most of the countries of the world. For example, you can get bus passes that are good for, let's say, 2 weeks, 30 days to travel unlimited mileage on their buses. And many countries have buses, and most, like in Europe, and most people don't realize that there are inter-country buses, like Greyhounds. And I know one time we talked a little bit about it with Chris, they don't realize that these have bus passes, and sometimes if you get a rail pass, like through Auto Europe, I don't mean a Rail Europe, you are able to get that bus pass cheap too. And have you ever done any of those things?
Yeah, there's a company, I don't know if they're around anymore, but Bus About around Europe that you could do these bus tours. But I never got into the tours, but I took a bus from London to Prague one time. I mentioned on the show before to the Czech Republic. Amazing experience. I've done the Greyhound buses all around America. I've gone from Detroit, Michigan, all the way to Salt Lake City, Utah, on a Greyhound bus, and that was kind of a nightmare a little bit. I thought I would write a lot of travel journals and and write about the trip, but it was a long trip. But the European buses that I've been on have been a little more leg room than the Greyhound in America. But yeah, I recommend the bus. It's a great way to meet people too in the bus. That's an excellent way to meet the local people, and
and as long as we're talking about about budget travel, that is a way to save money. Like I know taking the jump on an Amtrak in America, it's really cheap, and then those are, if you go somewhere where the train doesn't go, it's linked up with the buses, and it is kind of a tough way to travel. Like it's pretty grueling trips, if you cross America. Country, and I mean it's a price you pay though. Like if you have so much, like only X amount of money, and you want to big long trip, that's a great way to save money. It may cost you an extra day of time, but in my case, you know, a lot of times I have time to spare, but I don't have money to spare, and that's just something you have to do. And that means you can do, you know, so much more when you get to a place because you save that money.
I know.
So
one place that I want to mention, it's a website, and most people know about it. Most people maybe have not really looked at it. It's ricksteves.com. And ricksteves.com is phenomenal. He gives some absolutely great ways of saving money and traveling. In fact, a lot of the things I've learned over the years, over the decades, is that, for example, renting a car over for a trip overseas, in most cases, is much cheaper to rent it here for the trip than if you rent it there, and save up to half. And it's very, very important, like Auto Europe. They're phenomenal. We use them for almost every car that we rent because they've been very fair and good prices. And one thing I wanted to mention also is booking ahead. Most people know this, but they don't do it. If you plan your trip way in advance, if you call over or you negotiate is a great way to save money, to a hotel, and you book it ahead of time, many, many times, for example, or tours, you can get discounts. I know the trip that my wife and I are taking to Norway next month, that it was in June, that we didn't realize it. We didn't even have the brochure. We just knew about it, and we just called them. And because we booked it, and we did back in December, it was a $400 discount per person on that trip, and which is nice to have. For the same trip that you would have done if you booked it later, you would have paid the $400.
Yeah.
One thing I don't think, and I've talked about this several times, but one way to save a tremendous amount of money, and I looked up Gerba today. Gerba, G-U-E-R-B-A, is one of my favorite companies. It's an overlanding trip, and a lot of people aren't really familiar, particularly in the North America, with overlanding. And you can go, like, from Kathmandu to Istanbul or from London to Mombasa or Nairobi down to Johannesburg. They go all over South America, all over different areas and regions, through the Baltics, everywhere, through overlanding. And, you know, they had one trip, 17 days, that was from, it started in Johannesburg, and it did the whole southern countries there for 17 days, and it was only $550 a person. And that includes your transportation, your lodging, and your meals were not included, but it's only like $250 more for the food, for the kitty. And, I mean, you can travel really, really cheap. I know they had a Kilimanjaro trip for around $600 a person and climbing one of the routes. So, I mean, overlanding is an option that you might want to consider. And, of course, off-season. But I want to talk about off-season in a minute. A lot of people, I know I'm from Texas, and a lot of people will bop down to the Caribbean or bop into, like, Cancun, the Caribbean of Mexico, in the summertime, and because prices are cheaper. But this is what I'm talking about, cheap versus budget. And many times they'll get down there, and, like, they go in August or September or July, and they will have so much clouds and so rain and things that the visibility may not be good where they are. Certain islands don't have it as bad, but because they were saving money, they did not get the experience they wanted. So I'm really cautious about off-season travel, and this is a reason for it, because I don't think many people really save as much money as they thought because they don't get the experience that they wanted, because things are closed, bad weather, this kind of a thing. Have any of you ever traveled off-season and had that kind of an experience?
Yeah, I have. I've traveled off season around Europe pretty good, like in October, November time.
Uh-huh.
It's not that, you know, it's nice. I like it sometimes because the crowds aren't as crowded, but you're right, the hours of attractions and, just it's not in the tourist spirit, I guess.
Pardon?
Right. Yeah, and you kind of dive into the local culture a little bit more because they don't know if you're a tourist or not, you know, like per se.
I know.
So But yeah, I can see it though, you know, and the weather is not that good either, actually, on the off-peak seasons, like in Amsterdam or in Belgium in November is very chilly and damp, but it was a good experience though, but yeah.
It's a neat. But, also, I wanted to mention some things. While we're talking about the weather and things, I know, Brian, you've been to the Caribbean.
Yeah, I did. I was about to say that I can definitely confirm what you were saying. I got there kind of at the end of the rainy season, and then stayed. My trip overlapped into the, you know, the dry season, and
uh-huh.
and then oh man, like when I first got there, it would go for days, just pounding, pouring rain, where you couldn't step foot outside, or it was miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I mean, all you ever see on the ads or on TV, or like people have it in their heads that, you know, it's just paradise and it's sunny.
Uh-huh.
Beaches and, you know, sun tanning, but that's not how it is, you know, and that's all around the world, you know, the tropics, they all have a rainy season, and
they do.
It's something to check into, and it's not a joke, like, you're not going to have a fun trip, you know, if that's what you have in mind and you go at the wrong time.
I know. Now, I want to talk a little bit about car rental, because I already did a little bit by make sure you do it ahead of time, but there are places, particularly in North America and some other places, that you can rent used cars, and they're very, very cheap in many cases. In fact, there was one in Houston, Texas. It was called Rent a Wreck. It wasn't really a wrecked car, but it was an older car, like 5, 6, 7 years old, and you could get it like $9.95 a day or less. And there's all those. But if you're going to be gone in a destination for more than 3 weeks, I highly recommend looking into leasing a car. Most people are not familiar with leasing a car, particularly from North America. We just rent a car, but it can be half the price. You basically buy the car, and you keep it, and then you sell it back. But it's all in the lease, and it can be very, very cheap, particularly if you have it 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks. It can be something else, really, really a great saving. And never, unless you have no option, book a car when you arrive at the airport. They just, many times, it can be $10, $20, $30 more a day to rent a car at the airport rather than a downtown office. And make sure you understand about the drop charge when you rent, too, because it can be astronomical. My wife and I rented a car one time in Amsterdam, and we're going to drop it off in northern Denmark before we took the ferry over to Sweden. And the drop charge was over $1,000.
Whoa.
More than the rental car, more than the cost of the rental. And so what we did is we just went to Copenhagen and rented a car in Copenhagen, dropped it there, and it was no drop charge. So we saved $1,000 and then spent a couple of $100 on airline tickets. So we saved around $800 or so. Now, that's what we need to talk about in a minute, is when you travel in Europe, for example, there are some really inexpensive airlines, like Ryanair, and some of the local airlines can be really inexpensive. In fact, it can be cheaper in some cases, in many cases, rather than a rail pass to fly, because they have these cheap airlines now in Europe, but didn't exist 15 years ago, but they sure do now, and it's amazing.
I flew from London to Madrid one time, like for, I think, £50, so like $70 or so. Yeah, that was amazing price, I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's so many options like that most people aren't aware of. So you can do some research and save a tremendous amount of money. Now, one thing, if you're traveling through Asia, particularly Southeast Asia, and not many people in North America really think about it, is the YMCA. The YMCA over there is one of the cheapest places to stay. I stayed in the YMCA in Hong Kong and several other places, and very, very reasonable prices and very good. And they even have families that can stay there. So it's not the normal what the North Americans think of the YMCA, where it's just men, basically, but it's really a fantastic opportunity to stay there. Now, on food, let's talk a little bit about food. When you travel on the food, you're talking about peanut butter and things. How do you stay healthy by living on a budget? This is one thing that I have found interesting. So how do you stay healthy on a budget? What do you eat that you don't get sick?
Well, yeah, I don't really travel like that anymore. That was just kind of desperate times, desperate measures. But now I'm actually food something that's really important to me, and I eat a really healthy diet at home, and it's something that I take time to search out when I am traveling. And I don't know, I think especially when you get, in a lot of smaller countries or less developed countries or, you know, supposedly third world countries or whatever, a lot of times they have the food there that I've had in those places was 10 or 20 times better than the food we get here because they don't have the same, like, massive farming food system we have, and you can buy food from local people. When I was in the Caribbean, I was working on a farm, and we'd trade food. If I couldn't grow it on my farm, you know, we would trade other people who had it or whatever. There's a million ways to do it. A lot of times trading's a cool way. And as a traveler, people are always so curious about you. And I know it seems like it's pretty easy to shake a cool deal, you know, with people who, locals who have stuff, they're always willing to hook you up and, you know, show them you're cool and whatever. So, it's never been an issue for me. I've always found great food and great prices.
I know, it's possible to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I know. When I was younger, we'd just buy some bread and cheese and some local type fruit, and you can have a wonderful meal on that, a couple of meals on that, actually. And doesn't cost that much.
I think as the overall thing, food's like the least of your worries, you know, compared to like transportation or housing or those types of things. Those are going to be obviously a lot more of a worry, you know, financially and stuff. Yeah.
I also want to ask Chris. I know you've traveled Europe tremendously amount. How have you found? Well, let me talk about this. Do you take a lot of taxis when you're in towns, or how do you get around towns?
Oh yeah. When I lived in England for a few years, and I lived in Leeds, in a city, kind of a large city. And most of the time when we would go out in the town, we would take a taxi back, but we would try to get a group of people to split the taxi, which is a good option that you can get four or five people in the same living in the same neighborhood, you know. But the way I got around the most is probably walking, actually. I was in the best shape of my life walking. I like miles and miles and miles, and I was in the best shape. I was, you know, I was feeling great, walking and I always found ways of, you know, getting a bicycle. I biked a little bit around areas, but when I was traveling, I would walk a lot. Like, you'd be amazed. Like, I would walk all the way from the train station to even with a big backpack or all my luggage, like for a couple miles. It'd be like an all morning walk, really. I think that's one of the best ways to get around, you know, just to, and then you get acclimated to the environment really quick too when you're walking around. The taxis are a lot more easier in Europe, I think, to take taxis. And you know, you got to be careful though. You got to be careful on the price of the taxi. You know, it could range in pricing.
And they also, if you don't negotiate in many countries ahead of time, they will really rip you off.
So you got to be very careful. Yeah, they know that you're a tourist right away, you know, if you don't speak the language of the local town or the dialect. And, they can tell right away. And I usually take a taxi in England. I took it with all English people, you know, and I could tell when he was trying to, you know, give us a different price. And then all my English friends would be like, no, mate, that's not a good price, mate. They would catch him on it, you know, yeah. So.
Right. Well, I wanted to mention just a bit about how to get the most out of your money. I know we have some friends that are booking a trip to Europe, and they are older, they're in their 50s, and they have purchased a rail pass from Rail Europe. Very nice pass. It's good for 2 months. There's so many days of travel within that 2 months. But they have the thing that's about it, they purchased this rail pass thinking it'd be a fantastic deal, and it's a very good price. But what happened is as they really started to plan their trip to what they really want to do, and they bought it the past while back, they're going to be going into areas that the train doesn't go. A lot of it is areas the train doesn't go. So we recommend. Oh. I am working with them now. Options. I said, you're either going to have to rent a car, or you're going to have to rent bicycles, or you're going to have to walk 20 miles, because what they want to do is not there. So they've gone back, and they're reevaluating their trip, and they're still going to use the pass to go from point A to point B, but they're going to end up having to rent a car, and it looks like about four cars. So they could have gotten a better deal if they had gone through Rail Europe and renting the car at the same time, or doing it through Auto Europe, you know, mixing and matching, and maybe even doing point-to-point. That's one option, is point-to-point. And they would have saved several hundred dollars a person if they had bought point-to-point and then rented the car, because they're going to have to rent the car anyway. So don't just think the passes are always the best deal, because it depends on what you're doing and what's going to be required. So my friends learned the hard way. They're going to lose several hundred dollars, but it's still they're still going to have a phenomenal trip. So it's not wasted. And
Oh, that's great. That's a good, yeah, it's interesting that, yeah, the train doesn't always go to that destination where you want to go, you know, in Europe, like, yeah, especially in the remote spots. And, yeah, that's, I noticed in England, too, like, to get around to the real unique spots, like, in the countryside, it was really hard because the train only went to one area, and then you're kind of stuck in that village, you know, you can't get around unless you get a car, yeah, so.
Well, Brian,
hey, Jerry.
Yeah, guys, that brings up another good point. One thing I've noticed traveling is that I think there a lot of times people are looking for that the best deal, or like they'll ask you if you've been somewhere. They're like, "Well, what's the best way to get around? Should I fly? Should I take the train?" And I think the answer a lot of times is there isn't like a best way. It's usually, you know, almost every trip I've ever taken, I ended up using like a variety of things, and I think that's what you should count on, is not like. Every mode of transportation, like the airlines will sell you a pass for a couple months, you know, where you can get around. But same thing, like there's not an airport everywhere, so that's obviously not the best. And there's not, trains don't go everywhere, you know, and you can't ride a horse everywhere. But using like a combination of things, you can get like almost anywhere you need to be, you know. And that's kind of, I don't know, that's what spices up your traveling. And that's kind of the, I don't know, that's what I love about traveling, is the variety and the, you know, like the things that come up, and you just figure out a solution. And
you just go for it.
Fun of it.
And that's called multimodal travel, M-O-D-A-L, multimodal travel, different modes of travel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so I think it's important to realize that when you're planning a trip, that there isn't going to be, like, one answer, you know, like, it's all about mixing and matching everything to make the perfect trip for you, because you know what you want and where you want to go.
Right.
You know, and it's you can just count on the fact that no one company is going to take you on exactly the trip you want to do, you know.
Well, let me ask, as you, Brian, you'd mentioned several times you'd have a budget. Have you always or usually or never or whatever stayed within the budget that you propose?
What was that? I didn't hear you.
You've mentioned several times, because this is a question that we get at Travel Advice all the time, and I wanted your opinion. When you've traveled, you've mentioned several times today that you've had a budget, a proposed budget, and I'm just wondering, have you been able to stay on that budget, or have you gone over, or do you go under the budget on most of the trips?
Yeah, I mean, I usually try to calculate just roughly in my head what it's going to cost to get there and stay there and eat, you know, just stay alive. I'm talking about either, like, driving, you got to have gas, or plane ticket or whatever.
Right.
You can count on that. There's certain things you can count on, you know. And so I try to add those up in my head and come up with an estimate. And then beyond that, there's once you get there that you're going to want to go do stuff, you know. So you got to maybe once you figure out what you're going to have to pay, then you know, you know, how much you'll have left to do whatever, and that's how you decide what you're going to do when you get there. So
I mean,
yeah,
because,
hey, Brian, have you ever gone over the budget, Brian, before?
I don't think I usually have, but I'm always traveling on such a small budget that I'm usually pretty in tune with right where I'm at, you know. I'm not dealing with, like, massive trips and, like, big tickets and stuff. I'm always, you know, scraping together to get whatever. So I think I usually have a pretty good idea, and I keep close track. Yeah, you know, it's important. You don't want to get you don't want to get stranded somewhere or something, obviously. I mean, there's a lot on the line. You got to,
I know.
You know, it's important to get back from your trip, so.
I know.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. So well, yeah, everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Jerry. Yeah. It looks like it's time again. Yeah, that went by really quick. I hope the beginning part we got on air there. I'm not sure. I was having some technical difficulties there, but if not, the emailer can email the question at show@traveladviceshow.com. You can email any travel question you have, and we have a new website now at www.traveladviceshow.com, which has all our archive shows, our past shows throughout the last few months. Thank you, Brian, for being our guest.
Yes,
there.
Indeed. We appreciate it.
It was a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, next week we talk about New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealand, yeah. That's great. I'm looking forward to that show. Yeah, sounds good.
Yep. Well, it's been fun, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Then. Okay, Jerry, sounds good, and see you next week, and looking forward to it. Okay.
All right.
Okay, any safe travels. Okay, bye-bye.